To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to his deeds. Now I say to the rest of you who do not hold your teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Well, do keep your Bibles open this evening at Revelation chapter 2 and this letter to the church in Thyatira, which is actually the longest of the seven letters that Christ wrote to the churches in what we call modern day Turkey. Sometimes in the news you hear stories of what are called fish kills. Fish are turning up in a river in numbers dead, and an investigation will be launched as to why that is the case. Maybe a local farmer, the slurry tank is leaking into the river, or a factory, there's effluent leaking into the river, and the department will come and launch their investigation. And once the problem is found, it'll be dealt with, and maybe there'll be a fine as well for whoever was responsible. Tonight, as we come to this letter of Christ to the church in Thyatira, we come to a church into which poison is leaking. And it's causing damage to individual believers. If you like, believers are turning up dead in the water. So this is a poison that needs to be dealt with. It needs an antidote. And this letter that Christ is writing is in many ways the antidote in order that this poison would be dealt with and the church would not be filled with dead fish. Let's remind ourselves, first of all, of who is speaking to the church. And it is good to remind ourselves that it's not our church, it's the Lord's church. He introduces himself in verse 18. These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. The eyes of Christ are all-seeing eyes. Whenever the church meets, you and I can see the people around us. We can see the people at the front. But Christ sees into the heart. He knows what's in your heart tonight. He knows what's in my heart, what's beneath the surface. And these burning eyes, they burn into our souls. He also has feet, we're told, like burnished bronze. Feet that have come through testing, through the fire, that are now highly polished. He is the one who has come through the test himself. So therefore, he has the right to test you and the right to test me. And he stands in judgment of his church. But as he does so, he begins with commendation, and he says in verse 19, I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance, and how you're looking for more ways to serve me. And this was the church in many ways that had a lot going for it. And I wonder, as Christ looks into your life and as he looks into my life, does he see keen Christians who have served the Lord in the past and we're still eager to serve him? We still are keen for the Lord. Does he see your deeds? Does he see your love, your faith, your service, your keeping going over the years? And you also have a desire. Maybe you're limited in your opportunities, Or maybe you have lots of opportunities and you haven't taken them up. Well, Jesus here is looking, is he not, for keen Christians. And it's good to be a keen Christian, and it's good to belong to a keen congregation. But that only happens if we ourselves are keen, because the whole is the sum of the parts. But let's move on to the poison that is seeping into the church in Thyatira. And the source of it was a woman preacher. Jesus says in verse 20, "You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess." Now, I don't think Jezebel was her real name. This was Christ's nickname for her. And he's referring to the Jezebel in the Old Testament from the book of 1 Kings. Israelite kings were meant to marry Israelite women, but King Ahab had married a woman of the Sidonians, of a pagan people. And her father was called Ethbaal. Baal was a false god. So her father, and there's a sign just of the family that she had come from. It was a Baal worshipping family. And it's a reminder to us that you've got to be careful who you marry. Will that prospective husband, will that prospective wife bring you closer to the Lord? Or will they take you away from the Lord? You've got to ask yourselves these questions as we consider marriage. Because Jezebel brought into Israel Baal worship. And this was a result of the marriage. And she became promoter in chief of Baal worship in the land of Israel. So what was Baal worship? Well, Baal worship was all about fertility. Sexualized images promoted intercourse to make the fields more productive. And Jezebel was the ringleader in chief. No time for God, no time for the word of God. That's also yesterday. That's all history would have been her attitude. This new religion was all about emotions and feelings and gratification and overemphasized sexuality. And it was a win-win religion, you can hear her saying. It means you get to feel good, and it also means the fields are good. So it's a win-win. Throw yourselves into it and you'll discover how good it really is. And I wonder if we really come so far from someone like Jezebel. For surely it's no coincidence that our modern society, as it moves away from God and as it moves away from the Word of God, has become a society in which sexuality is our new God. Whether it's used for selling products and marketing, or whether it's used on television in the hit series Normal People, which is currently on. I haven't seen a minute of it, but I understand has more sex scenes than any other BBC series ever. The subject is everywhere. And sexuality is, of course, God-given. And it's to be enjoyed in God's way. The trouble is when we misuse it, abuse it, use it for our own ends and in our own way. And that's what had been going on in Thyatira. This woman preacher, whom Christ calls Jezebel, she had been leading people away from the Bible, from the straightforward teaching of God's word, of the message of Scripture, and she had been promoting feel-good experiences, feel-good activities. No doubt she wouldn't have called them immorality. She wouldn't have called them idolatry. But that's what they were. And when we get away from God's law, then we end up with that well-known principle, if it feels good, do it. Don't ask yourself whether it's right or not. If it feels good, just go ahead and do it. And many had been led astray by her. Many fish were turning up dead in the river, for you cannot drink the poison of sin and not have it poison your soul. We see a very clear example of this in our modern day and age, the tragedy that is the Church of Scotland. The Church of Scotland has been running down the road to ordain homosexual ministers and to legalize same-sex marriage. They've been running down the road to do that. The Church of John Knox, the Church of the Reformation, the great legacy that church has left to us across the world, Scottish preachers across the world, great giants of the faith. And yet, Baal worship effectively has entered into the modern Church of Scotland. And we might We should pray for them, and we might say it'll not happen to us, but we need to pray for the purity of the Church of Jesus Christ. Who knows how God will move to restore that church if that is according to his will. For as we move on to the remedial action that Christ takes, it's good to know that the Lord does have remedial action to take, and that a church can be poisoned, and yet he can bring it back again. It's not gone forever. And the Lord of the church is able to take steps to remedy the poison and to show a way of operating that brings it full circle and back onto himself again. Like a husband going after an errant wife, this is what Christ is doing. And as you read this letter, it's lovely, you know, the Trinitarian theme. The Father is mentioned in verse 27, the Son in verse 18, the Spirit in verse 29. This is the Trinitarian Church of God. We're not a church that is weak and powerless and helpless and hopeless. We are overseen by our Trinitarian God. What hope that should give us. And for bringing us back after lockdown, let's fix our hope upon our God. Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, the God who oversees his church. But Jesus here has three weapons in his armory. Verse 21, time is the first one. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. God's not in a rush. He's patient. He's wanting people to repent. He's wanting you to repent of your sins and to come back to him. And so Christ gives the church time. Secondly, he says in verse 22, I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of their ways. So much of the modern church is obsessed with healing, yet here is Christ inflicting suffering. For suffering has a chastening effect upon the soul. Didn't David discover this in Psalm 119? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And the third weapon in Christ's armory is death. Verse 23, I will strike her children dead. Maybe her literal children from her acts of immorality, or maybe children in the sense of her followers, the children of Jezebel. But death was going to strike some of these children, that they would through death come to their senses, that they would through death mourn for their sins and realize how far they'd got away from God. And death can have that effect upon us, a chastening effect upon our lives. Before I close, what about those who hadn't been poisoned by the immorality and idolatry of Jezebel? What about those who had rejected her teaching, who scorned her so-called deep secrets? People come to you with deep secrets. Be really careful. Are they according to the word of God, or are they just flimsy beliefs that they've conjured up out of their own heads? Notice Jesus says about those who hadn't been poisoned, hold on, verse 25, to what you have until I come. Hold on to scripture, in other words. Hold on to holiness. Hold on to purity of life. Hold on to truth as opposed to error. Hold on to self-control as opposed to self-gratification. There's real merit in holding on. And Jesus says, to him who overcomes and does his will, you'll have authority over the nations. And this is like the parable in Luke chapter 19. The person who has been a good steward of his £1 is given £10 as a reward. And Jesus says, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Christ encourages us here to be faithful with the gospel, not to fritter away the gospel, not to poison it, not to play with it, but to hold it fast in our lives. I don't know about you, but I know my need to overcome and to hold on, to repent of my sin. I guess sexual temptation afflicts us all. I guess that idolatry afflicts us all. We idolize things or we idolize people, and we believe that this will bring us our greatest happiness instead of saying that Jesus is our greatest happiness. We need to be faithful. We need to hold on, not to be hypocrites, not to be play actors playing at being Christians, but to live out our faith faithfully and sincerely. As I end, the darkness threatens. The world, the flesh and the devil are real for all of us. Enemies to resist it. Sin must be repented of where it's got into our hearts. But notice how Jesus says in verse 28, I will give him the morning star. The morning star is that bright star after the darkness of the night time. And the sign of the dark night of the soul surely is passing here. He says, I will give him the morning star. Here is Christ, the source of our light. Here is Christ who lifts our darkness. Here is Christ who is able to make us shine, even in a sinful and in a dark world. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The world is full of poison, and many fish are turning up dead. I urge you to be an overcomer. Hold on to the gospel, fix your eyes on Jesus, and one day you will receive your reward from the Lord Jesus Christ himself.